might be evangelistic with what I'm saying. Many years ago, my lovely daughter, who we protected quite well, decided to say to us she was bringing a boyfriend home, or she was thinking about going out with a particular person. Now, I won't divulge the information, but Susan said, well, that's fine, but you need to bring him home. You need to introduce us to him. Now, he was everything that we didn't want, okay? And he came in, and just before I tell you what my daughter said to him, he came in and Susan said, would you like a shower? Because he'd just finished work. So he had a shower. Then she gave him my son's dinner to eat. And basically, we killed him with kindness. It lasted about a week. But as he's standing at the door ready to come in, my daughter says to him, and the point I'm making is, a kind word turns away wrath. My daughter says, I just need to let you know, my dad's a pastor. So when you come in, he'll pray for you and cast the devil out. So no wonder the poor boy never came back. But I think that the message I wanted to say is that a kind word turns away wrath. We killed him with kindness. So today, I was looking at through scripture and just looking around the whole area of a year of Jubilee, as Emma and I mentioned it a while ago, and it was something that stuck with me for quite some time. So I'm starting to read around it and look at God's promises, look what he says to his people, look what he's saying to us. And I came across a different portion of... Okay, who's that? Some random person coming up on my internet? Anyway, that's a bit odd. And I started to look at the whole area around about rest. And this portion of scripture here, in Genesis, it talks about when God was creating and doing the work of creation. And it says that on the seventh day, he rested. And I start to look at that whole word to rest. And I don't believe that God was tired. When we look through what it means to rest, at times, there's a time when we are overwhelmed by life and we need to just rest. We need to let our body just be in that still motion. And there's times where we can complete a task. And that's what's happening here with the Lord. He'd finished the work and then rested. And there's times in our lives we can look at it from the new perspective of starting a new year. But I don't know if you're the same as me, but I go from one job to another job. I finish one thing and then I start another thing. And if you listen to Susan, she'll tell you that I don't finish one thing and then I start a new thing. And Nigel's smiling. But there are things that we can look at within our lives, and I want to bring it down to you and me. We can look at in our lives, and if we're not careful, we can miss what God has already done in our lives because we don't rest. And we look at the process of what God wants of his people and what he wants of his creation. And when we look, I'll read this portion of scripture. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. If we go into Leviticus and we look at a year of Sabbath. Now this isn't about work, this is about talking about land. And when we look at what the Lord says here, when he's talking to Moses, now you understand that there's a promise that God has given his people. There's a land that you're going to enter. It's full of milk and honey. In other words, everything that you need is there. And I'm giving it to you to go and enter it. And then it was a struggle for God's people to see the blessing that God has given them. And if you look through these portions of scripture and you read around them, you'll see that the Lord says something important to his people. Go and spy out the land that I am giving you. Now, there's something within that, isn't there? That we, as God's people, when he promises us something, we can rest and rest assured in that promise. So he says this, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites And say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and 6 years, prune your vineyards, gather their crops. But on the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest. And as I start to look through this subject and look at the principle behind what the Lord was saying, that there is a time that we need to rest. Now, there's times that we need to rest from our work, and there's times we need to rest knowing that God has done the work. So when you look at rest, however it speaks to you, I hope it will speak to you today. I hope that something of what I share will make sense to someone in the room. Because for me, my mind is always at work. Even when I'm at sleep, it doesn't seem to rest. It seems to keep going and going, and I'm going on to the next thing. But the Lord is maybe saying to me at this time, this is a time of rest. Look at what the Lord has done and rest in it. There's things that you have done, there's things that I have done, there's things that we have accomplished, and I think it's time for us to rest in that. We had a trustees meeting, and it was a wonderful meeting looking back at what the Lord has done and looking forward to what He is going to do with us, within us and through us. And there was a time for me when I came out of that meeting that I could just rest knowing that the Lord is in this, that God has given us a plan and a purpose. And it's to prosper us, not to harm us. So if He can say to His people, look, even the land need a Sabbath rest. I don't know about you, but let's just look at the lockdown period, when COVID. Because for many of us, we never had much choice. We had to either observe what was happening, because we didn't know what was happening. Many of you stayed in your homes. Many of you did what you was asked to do, and some went on occasional walks and did other things. But the thing that I noticed was that the air seemed to be fresher, the skies seemed to be bluer, and the people seemed to be relaxed. I would meet people as they're walking their dogs, and they would smile. The same people I'd see 6 months before that would just look at the floor and carry on were suddenly smiling. There was a rest that was imposed upon many people. Does that make sense? Are you one of those that you looked at your garden afresh and went, oh, I can do this, I can fertilize that, I can prune that, because I have this time that's been given to me? Well, God didn't give us a disease. He gave us a promise. He gave us a bounty. He gave us a plan. He gave us a purpose. And within that is a time of rest. So, if you are somebody that needs to physically rest from your labor, then take this season, however long it may be, a day, a week, a month, whatever it may be for you, to rest in that season from your work. If you're somebody that has looked at a project or looked at something that's been going on with your family, your circumstances, your situations, and it's been completed, you've brought your children up and they've now flown the nest, there's a time of rest. And if you're Nigel, you paint, decorate the room quickly so they can't come back. But there's a time of rest. There's a time of... I've changed the locks. There's a time of rest. So whatever it may be for you, I think if we're going to go into the next phase of what the Lord has for us, then we need to rest. We need to have that Sabbath rest. We need to have that day, that week, that month, whatever it is. And just rest from what we've been laboring in. For those that have completed a task, you've completed something, you've said this needs to be done, and now it is done, rest in that. That's what the Lord did on seventh day of creation, after creation. He rested from His work. It is good. And there are things that you have accomplished in your life, I'm sure, that if you think about it, you can rest in the knowledge that God was in it. So I just want to bring one or two scriptures around rest, obviously, and just bring whatever the Lord has for us afresh today. In Matthew 10, 11, it says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person. Now, Jesus is talking to His disciples. You are His disciples. So even though He's talking to a set amount of people, it also applies to me and you when we go into towns and cities and other people's homes. Find a house or a person and stay in that house. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. And when you look at that whole portion around there, it's your blessing. Have you ever walked into a family member's home or a friend's and just gone, Lord, bless this house. Lord, bless these people. Lord, encourage them. Lord, build them up. That's your blessing. You know, don't underestimate the dunamis that the Lord has given you. Because if the Bible is true, we need to understand afresh that Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and lives in me. So therefore, when we go somewhere, there is the presence of the Lord goes with us. Now, I'm not super spiritualizing that. I'm just bringing scripture in its simplicity. When we are in someone else's company, they are blessed because we are blessed. They're encouraged because we're encouragers. They can be lifted up because the Lord lifts us up. They can be people that don't even know God, but because you do, they get blessed. There's a portion of scripture that I like to remind us of from time to time when I think about it. It's when the disciples are on the sea and there's a squall all around them. It means the waves and the winds are in torrent. And Jesus comes across walking on the lake and they're terrified. And he gets into the boat and he says, storm, be quiet. And it's still. And that portion of scripture says something really important. It says, on that lake were other little boats. So when God's people got blessed, other people got blessed. So when God blesses you, other people get blessed. So this is why I believe for us, we need to allow our peace, our rest to fall upon us so that we can allow others to be blessed. It says, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it isn't, take it away. Read into that what you will. But when we as God's people enter a place, it changes because of us. So if we've got that peace that transcends all understanding, that peace will come out around the situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. You might walk into a squall. You might walk into a family row. You might walk into a situation in the workplace. You might walk into something that seems so unpalatable. But the truth is this, when you enter that place and you bring that peace, something in the spiritual happens, especially if you are lifting up and not tearing down. So scripture gives us lots of encouragement. It says this in Matthew 11:28. Jesus talking here, he says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. You know, when we think about being weary, it's because sometimes we can be weary of well-doing, can't we? We can go, oh Lord, I just feel so used. Can you remember the prayer you prayed many years ago? Here I am, Lord, use me. Well, you're getting what you prayed for. But within that, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. And then he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And when you think about the yoke, it's the yoke that they put on an oxen or two horses. They yoke them together and make the two one. And normally in the natural, you will have horses or oxen, whatever you're yoking, of similar strength and similar height and similar ability. So that when they plow the furrow, it will be straight because they're both pulling together at the same time. That's what you do when you yoke oxen together to plow the field. That's what you do when you yoke horses together. But Jesus says that if you're yoked to me and he's far stronger than we are, then your burden will be light. Come to me and you will have rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, he'll carry us. When we're pulling to the right, he'll pull us back to the center. When we're pulling to the left, he'll pull us back to the center. It says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as Christians, we can take stock of where we are, who we are, what we're doing, and we can rest in the natural. But we can also rest in the spiritual. We can also go, Lord, I live because you live. Lord, I can do all things because you strengthen me. Lord, I am burdened. I need to give it to you. Lord, I am burdened. I need to give it to you. So I want to encourage us as church today to look at what the Bible says about resting. resting from our labour, and resting in the knowledge that something has been completed. We can so miss the blessing of last year if we just concentrate on this year. We can so miss the blessing of what we did in someone else's life by speaking truth into their lives, by giving them something, either physical, material, or spiritual. By sowing into someone else's life, we can so miss. You know, when we talk about Uganda as a church, if we're not careful, we can just see the need instead of recognize the blessing. We can rest in the knowledge that God is at work. We can rest in the knowledge that when we invest, it's sown into good soil. It produces a harvest. We can rest in the fact that it's good to do good. Yes? Why do we do good? Because it's good to do. So for you and I, let's rest afresh in what God has given us. If we look in Exodus, going back into the Old Testament, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me." Using this portion of scripture, taking the subject of resting, there are times that we might not see the answer. We might not understand, but if we walk through the troubled times, well, peace isn't just being in a quiet place. Peace is being having a quiet spirit when you're walking through turmoil. When you're not in a quiet river, but when you're in a squall, when the wind and the waves are blowing around you, when you're in the storm of life, when there's a crisis with your children, a crisis with your family, a crisis with your finances, and then suddenly you call upon the Lord and say, "Father, that peace that your word talks about, that rest that I want to learn from you, I want you to lead me, Lord." That's the peace that transcends all understanding. We can look at this and say, "I know you by name," is what the Lord says to you, and what he says to me. "And I have if you have found favor with me, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Continue to find favor with you." This is Moses talking to the Lord. "Remember that this nation is your people." That's a really important thing for us to understand. Whenever you do something for the Lord, it's his work. These are his people. This is his vineyard. It's his word. It's his blood. It's his truth. It's okay to remind God, "Lord, here I am, use me in your work. Father God, teach me your ways. If you are pleased with me, teach me, show me, give me favor." In 14 it says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" Now it's easy just to put in a word search and come up with the word rest and then just bring scripture that talks about rest. But if you don't put it into context, then it's just a word. It's just a word. You've got Moses going through turmoil and yet he's having this conversation with the Lord saying, "These are your people. I can't do this on my own." And then the Lord is saying, "I will give you rest. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." So think about it, church. When we talk about being born again, that's that point where that dead part of our lives we gave to the Lord and said, "Forgive me for my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Father God, come and inhabit me. Come and live within me." We are born of God's Spirit. So we've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed. You see, we can rest in the knowledge that it's finished, that we are heaven bound. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you," still true today, "and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people, from all the other people on the face of the earth? What's the difference between us and them?" It has to be the presence of God. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. And I know you by name." Now that is a promise for each and every believer, that God knows us by name. So if that's a promise for Moses, then surely it's a promise for you, that he'll be with you, he's pleased with you. Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, I will cause the goodness to pass in front. And it goes on and on about God's mercy and his presence. And Moses says something important. And I think it's something that we should grab hold of in our lives. If you're not with us, I don't want to go. If you're not in this, I don't want to do it. You know, there's lots of good ideas, isn't there? But if they're not God ideas, then they're going to fail. There's lots of inspiration that we can draw upon. But if it's not, if it's perspiration, not inspiration, then it will fail because we're doing it with our own hands. But when we do it because we've been led by the Lord, there will be a rest. There will be a peace. You know, I can talk to people, I won't name them, but there's individuals I know that struggle thinking, I can't do this unless you do it in me, Lord. I can't communicate unless you give me the ability. I can't lead unless you allow me to follow you. That means we can rest knowing God. Now, for me, let me be honest with you. As a child, I never read a book. As a child, I never spoke in public. I used to get really red-faced whenever anyone spoke to me. I was nervous. I was somebody that didn't think he could do anything. And yet God gets hold of someone like me, and he gets hold of someone like you, and he says, listen, my grace is sufficient. But I have to rest in that. I have to rest in the knowledge that when I open my mouth, God will fill it. And God's promise to me is if I fill it with his word, then when I open my mouth, his word will come out. I can rest in that. Does that make sense? If you digest God's word, then when you speak to others in turmoil situations, his peace will come out. Why? Because it's in you. You can rest in the knowledge that Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can rest in the fact that you've been forgiven. You can rest in the fact that you are going to heaven. You can rest in the fact that he wants to bless you, not to curse you. You can rest in the fact that he will discipline you. Why? Because he disciplines the ones he loves. Discipline's good if it comes from God. It's bad if it comes from man. So as we look through scripture, as we talk about this subject of rest, in Matthew 12:43, it says, it talks about impure spirits. Because if we're going to bring all the positive, we need to bring a warning. Because there is an enemy. His name is Satan. There is a demonic. I remember speaking to someone before Christmas and saying, there's two spirits, the Holy Spirit and the evil spirit. That's the truth of God's word. That's not me. That's what God's word says. It's either black or it's white. It's up or it's down. It's good or it's bad. It's godly. It's for Christ or it's anti-Christ. Yes? So when we look at this portion of scripture, we need to understand that even the demons are looking for rest. They're looking for somewhere where they can say, my work is done. I now occupy this house. Yeah? So as Christians, you cannot be possessed. You can be oppressed, but not possessed. So be of good cheer. If you're a Christian, the devil cannot possess you. But there are people around us that the devil does. And they're not at rest. They're in turmoil. They're in spiritual decline. And the Bible talks about even when God's spirit comes and sweeps the house clean. If you do not fill the house with his spirit, then the demons will come back even seven times because they're looking for rest. So we can rest in the fact that he does not belong in here. We can rest in the fact that no weapon forged against me will prosper. We can rest in the fact that we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Yes? We can rest in the fact that we don't have to fear. Why? Because Christ has done it for us. We can rest in that knowledge as Christians. So when we start looking at this whole story, this whole area of resting, rest in the work that we've already accomplished. Rest in the fact that God is with us as we move on to the next thing. Rest in the fact that when we're weary, we can be yoked to him. Let's be a church as we go forward that will understand what it is to rest, knowing that he is in control. In Mark 6:30, it says, his apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And they were going out two by two. They were going out into the towns and the villages. They were healing the sick. They were giving to the poor. They were driving out the demoniac. And it says they, because people were coming and going, that they did not even have chance to eat. They were so overwhelmed with the work, they didn't even have time to feed themselves. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And that's not the bit I want to highlight. I want to highlight the next bit. Because Jesus is saying, you've been busy, you've been toiling, you've been doing my work. Now it's time for you to rest. Because church, if we haven't got it, we can't give it. Yes? If we're not in peace, we can't be peace to the world. If we're not resting, we can't encourage other people to rest. I mean, how many times have you done, as I have in the past, told somebody to do something that I'm not willing to do myself? You need to rest, brother. Yeah, what about you? Yeah, well, I'm different. No, I'm not different. I need to rest. You need to rest. We need to rest. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've been working. You need to eat and you need to rest. But then, if we read a little further, it goes on and it says that the crowd followed them. There's a lesson for us here. There'll be times where we've chosen to take a time out. Lord, I'm going to rest this day. And then the telephone goes. And you pick it up and there's someone in distress. Well, what does Jesus say? Have compassion on them. He says to his disciples, when he's talking about food, they say, look, this is a remote place. They followed us. We came to have a rest. We came to have some food. They're coming here to take our peace. Send them away. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. So even in our times where we make a decision as Christians to say, I'm going to take this period of rest, when God brings about a circumstance, then we need to have compassion. If the enemy's out there to rob, steal and destroy, you need to stand firm. But you need to discern the difference. And the reason I say that is because as ministers of God's word, that's you and me, as ministers of his grace, that's you and me, there's a time that we take and there's a time that we give. And within that, we should always be thinking of that period of rest, whether we allow our mind to rest knowing that we've completed something, that we've seen something through to the end, or we need to rest because we're worn out and we're weary with well-doing. Even in those circumstances, if we look at this story here about the feeding of the multitude, we'll see the miracle in the distress, the miracle in the time of lack, the miracle. What happened here is this: God takes the little bit that we have, and as we give it to him, he multiplies it. So even if, after listening to this message on encouraging you to rest, something comes along and you believe it's of the Lord, have compassion. Have compassion. Be of good cheer, because Christ in you, the hope of glory. In 2 Corinthians 12, halfway through 7, it says this: I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. You can do a whole message on that, trying to work out who that messenger is, what it is, what it's doing. But the fact is, there was distress in Paul's life. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, Paul says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So even in that time of exhaustion, even in that time where you know you need to rest and something comes along and you know it's of the Lord, then we can have compassion, knowing that in that time of weakness, if we do what the Bible says, we say, Lord, help me, come to me. Let me learn from you. Let me be yoked to you. Lead me. Instruct me. Then even in that time of turmoil, we will find rest. Because as we look through the scripture, it's not contradictory. 1 minute you read a portion of scripture that says, carry your own burden. And then the next passage says we should carry each other's burdens. When we look at the word burden, it means 2 different things. So there's times where we don't need to carry it. We give it to the Lord. And there's times where we need to draw alongside each other and encourage each other to rest in the finished work of God, to rest in the finished work of his possibilities, to rest in the knowledge that Christ in me, the hope of glory. My final scripture is in Hebrews 4, and it's verse 6. It says this: therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest. When we look at this portion of scripture, and we look at the Sabbath rest, the rest that we as Christians are promised, We're promised that it's going to be a time where we can rest from all our work, we can rest from all our labour, because he's coming back for a victorious church. In the meantime, we're called to work. We're called to work for towards his plans and purposes. We're called to rest while we're working for his plans and purposes. We're called to give. We're called to be compassionate. But there is a time coming where there will be a rest for God's people, since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. God again set a certain day, calling it today. So you've not missed out. If I don't know your heart no more than you know mine, all I know is that I consider that people in this room are Christians, that you acknowledge that Christ died for your sins. But anyone who listens to this or is in this room and you're not in that category, there is a day of rest for you. And God is so gracious that he says that day of rest, he calls it today. Today. So today you can enter that rest. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know, many of us, we have an opportunity to rest in the finished work of Christ. And that means then we can pray for other people. As we pray for other people, our prayers will remove the boulders in their lives. If you look at the parable of the sower, you'll see that there was a word sown and the troubles and tribulations of this world came along and the weeds grew up. And the pathway was hard and the seed could not germinate. Your prayer and my prayer, because we can rest in the finished work of God, is this. As we pray, the hearts get softened. If the heart is the soil on which the seed is germinated, that soil can be soft enough to receive that seed. So we have an obligation to live in the fact that we can live in the rest of the finished work of Christ, and to live in the fact that we can pray and intercede for hard hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Not my words, his words. There is a day coming. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work. So as Christians, God has given us a promise. Not only when we enter into that last day, not only when we enter into that eternal rest, but we can also enter into a rest from our work here, while we're here on earth. We can ask God to show us, to encourage us. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Going right back to what it's saying in Genesis. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. When we take that word effort, it means we have to push through. There are times where you want to do something and it takes effort not to do it. There's other times where you want to do something and it takes effort to do it. But God says, make that effort. Whether he's calling you to push through in your prayer life, push through in that relationship, push through and believe the best that God has for you, or it is just to rest in the knowledge that he's in control. Either way, that same word is that same word, to rest. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Let's pray for those that we care for. For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. So when I say to you that when we pray, things happen, this portion of scripture proves it. Because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will bring separation. It will divide the good from the bad. It will divide the wheat from the chaff. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul, spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is really encouraging, because as we rest in the finished work of God, we don't need to judge, because God's word will do that. We just need to be those that are obedient. We rest when he calls us to rest, and we work when he calls us to work. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So church, I just want to encourage us in this season, whatever that season may be, as I look in my own life and I look at the last 19 years, I can rest in the knowledge that this is God's work. I can rest in the knowledge by saying, look what the Lord has done, how gracious he has been. I can rest in the knowledge that there's work for us to do. But I can rest in the knowledge that he goes before us. And if he goes before us, as we pray, as we acknowledge who he is, as we get to that position of our season in life, we acknowledge the work that's been completed, rest in that fact that it's done. We don't need to do it again. As we rest in our from our earthly work, if you're exhausted, then rest. It doesn't mean you don't stop praying. It doesn't mean that you don't have to stop attending church. It just means that you're resting. That you're saying, Lord, show me, encourage me, enable me. Lord, I come to you because your word says that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. So let's make it our mission to be being joined to him. That if he doesn't go, then why should we? If we want to see fruit, then we need to have him with us. We need to acknowledge that he's yoked to us. When someone talks about the armor of God and when do you put it on, someone else will quite rightly say you should never take it off. Why? Because he's there with us, protecting us and guiding us and enabling us. So let me close in prayer by asking the question and praying over us as a ministry, as a church, by saying, if there's something that God has highlighted that you've finished, rest knowing it's complete. If there comes a point where God says, stop praying for that person, rest knowing that now is down to the Lord. If there's a project, rest in the fact that you've completed that and you can receive that rest. If there's a circumstance in your life where you're striving to work towards something, but you are exhausted, then take some time out. God's not going to punish you for it. But if something godly comes along in the meantime, then be compassionate. When we look into people's eyes and we see the devil at work, then say to them afresh that there is a rest that you can experience. But when God sweeps the house, make sure you fill it with his presence. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that on that seventh day, you looked at all you had done and said, this is good. This is very good. And you rested. It was complete. And there's things in our lives, Lord, that we can look at and we can be of good cheer because you've completed them. And we can rest in the knowledge that the work you started, you will bring through to that full completion. Lord, there's times in our lives where we become distressed because of the workload that we have, because of the way our minds think, because of how we look at the circumstances we find ourselves in. Lord, may we be reminded afresh that when we are in the troubled storms of life, if you are in our boat, we can find rest in that trouble. Lord, remind us afresh as we walk into this next season of our lives that if we are yoked to you, then you will pull us from the left to the center. You will pull us from the right to the center that we may walk on a straight street, not being too high and not being too low. That, Father God, you know our needs, you know our aspirations. May we be a people, Lord, today that will rest in the knowledge that we are your children. Rest in the knowledge that if you've started it, you'll complete it. Rest in the knowledge that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. So Lord, our prayer for one another is that you will give us the ability to know when to work and to know when to rest. We ask this, Lord, as your people, as your children, covered by your blood, in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, Emma.